Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. It's Monday, August 13th. My gosh, what's happened is this year? We say that all the time, but time is speeding up. Maybe it's because of all that we have going on in the industry. For those of you that listened last week, apologize for a little of the clunkiness on the radio program. We did a lot of remote recording because Joe was out, I was out, Alice was out. We were out, all of us were out at conferences, and we pre-recorded some of it. And one of the segments I pre-recorded, I re-uploaded the wrong section. I didn't have the normal opener, so I apologize for that. We had someone pushing the buttons for us that is very quiet, did an outstanding job. I think they want to remain nameless because I thought they did an outstanding job, but I want to just say thank you, person. Only that person knows who it is. Maybe someday they'll come out and advise, or we'll be able to mention their name. But outstanding job. Thank you very much for pushing the buttons and making the whole show work last week. I was out on the golf course at that time when the show was going live, and I thought the golf game was indicative of the of what's going on in the mortgage industry. Uncertainty. I never know where that doggone is going to go when I step up with a driver and hit it away. I need some more lessons from Andy Schell. You see, he's the guy that's the analyst. He's the guy that sits and analyzes my swing. No, Dave, come back further. No, don't bring that elbow down. Tuck it in. By the time you get done getting some good instructions, you're all twisted up. And I think that's what's going on in the industry. We're all getting so much input. We're getting so much instruction. And we are twisted up. And we're just not following through with some of the things that we need to do. So that's what this show is about. Alice Alvey is on vacation, so I'm going to give her update later on the broadcast, or a little bit in her. I'll be giving her segment. But I have Joe and Andy Schell, also known as the Prophet Doctor. I've got a new name I'll be announcing for Mr. Schell here in a minute. But we had it's the three amigos, the three mortgage amigos. Mm-hmm. It's Joe, Andy, and Dave on the broadcast. We're so appreciative, Alice. If you listen to the broadcast, have a wonderful time. And up there in northern Michigan, folks, it is so beautiful up there. They are having a drought. Let me tell you, northern Michigans, those that live in Michigan, do not understand what a drought looks like. I'm looking outside my window. We got dried up trees, dried up grass. It is luscious and green up there. I'm sure their water is off. There's down, the rain is down, and they may feel like they're in a drought, but man, was it beautiful, and the temperatures were magnificent. Now, Joe, you were up in Chicago last week.
Yeah.
And what were your temperatures?
It was lovely. It was a little bit warm, but I think a cool front came through and rain came through just as we were leaving, and so all the events that were outside were nice, and it was just a lovely weather.
Well, let's talk about the markets and what the weather is like. Give us a weather report, metaphorically speaking. What's going on in the markets? What do you have for us?
Well, not much today. Not much movement in either the bond markets or the stock markets. MBS prices are about an eighth higher than where they ended the day on Friday, and the stock market's down, 50, 60 points right now. No real news to speak of, no U.S. economic announcements and nothing coming out of Europe to speak of. We did get some early announcements today from Japan regarding their GDP. It fell from what was meager at best, but it still fell. It was 6/10 falling to 3/10. And then in addition to that, the Bank of America released their expectations for growth in China to be a little slower than what was previously expected. So, nothing real directly, and therefore not a lot of movement. I guess Romney's announcement of Paul Ryan as his running mate didn't have a big effect on the markets either. So, we'll see what happens later on because the rest of the week has a good deal of economic announcements coming. But I'll talk about those in just a minute. Last week was much the same. There wasn't a lot of news last week, David. The bond market and stock market barely moved. last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, I noticed that.
There were no significant economic announcements, no headlines. It was really the calm after what was a very busy week the week before. The week before,
no
you might recall, had the Fed meeting, had the ECB meeting, had the jobs report. It was a very busy week. And like I mentioned earlier, we have a very busy week coming up this week. It wasn't scheduled today, but starting tomorrow, we have PPI and retail sales. On Wednesday, we have CPI, industrial production, the New York Empire State Index. On Thursday, more housing starts, Philly Fed, jobless claims. All these announcements are you know, going to help us to determine if the good jobs report we got the first Friday of the month was an indication of some improvement in the U.S. economy, or if it was, you know, an aberration. We'll have that indication here coming soon. Retail sales is a pretty big indication of how the consumer's feeling. There is a bond auction in Greece tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to see if there are any people out there willing to buy Greece's debt. It's short-term debt, and the purpose for it is to raise money to pay off another debtor. So you know, they're going to have one bond auction to pay off what was a bond auction short-term a short while back. The ECB is a holder of that debt, and so if they're unable to pay, I don't guess it's the end of the world because they just asked for the ECB to send them money anyway. But it'll be curious to see how the you know, investors perceive even a short-term auction in Greece, whether or not they're going to demand higher yields and whether or not there's going to be sufficient demand. So that could have an impact on markets if it were to go poorly. And that's about it, Dave. I'm sorry I don't have more. It's just this last week was a very quiet week.
It was a quiet week, and I think we're going to see some interesting. It's going to have, when the data comes out, like last week, one of the things that did come out was an increase in home prices, and I'm sure you caught that. I think it was CoreLogic published a report that home prices had increased 2.5%. Did that have any resonance, or did that have any? Bring any buzz to the conference you were at and attending in Chicago?
You know, it didn't get a lot, Dave. I think that there is still a great deal of regionality going on with home prices, and an average like that might mean that it was very good in some markets and still not very good in others. You know, the essence of the meeting there was everyone is just so busy. You know, there's so much refi activity going on, and it's tough to get a loan through, even if it's an easy refi. I guess that shouldn't be put together anymore, should it? Because nothing seems easy. So you know, the essence was everyone's just busy.
Yeah, busy, and making good money. I mean, these are one of those things where everyone's enjoying the volumes, enjoying the profits. But the reality is that everyone is aware of the pending uncertainty. And you had a speaker at your event that we're going to have on the show next week. Tell us a little bit about that. We'll get into some of that discussion as a prelude to next week's broadcast later in the Hot Topic segment. I mean, but you had Mitch Kiter there.
Mitch Kiter, who's you know, an attorney, has been on the show several times and is very, very informed as it relates to the mortgage industry and all the pending issues, regulatory issues. In fact, he's written books about it. So it'll be very nice to have Mitch on. He is making the rounds. In fact, he flew from California, a conference in California, in the morning to be in our Chicago conference for noon, and was flying back to California that afternoon. And as he said, the purpose for making that effort is that it is such an important time in the industry for those of us who you know, live off of the mortgage industry to be aware that the issues and to make comments and to help to any extent possible to help the regulators understand the consequences of what they might propose and to help them, you know, propose workable solutions. And so Mitch is on that path, and I guess it's a war path. and is really encouraging that in the next 5 or 6 months, next 5 months, I guess now, your focus needs to be on helping the regulatory change be as palatable as possible.
Yeah, I think there's – I appreciate Mitch. He's passionate about this industry. He's passionate about his clients. Really looking forward to having him on next week. And, folks, you're not going to want to miss next week's broadcast. Joe and I talked about it at length. We're going to get into some of the items that are on our radar screen that we really feel that you should be being paying very close attention to. We're going to get on that in a hot topic segment. But, Joe, we appreciate you bringing us the update on today and all that's going on. It's good to have you back live.
Thank you.
Good to be back live with you. Appreciate it. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market, whether you're in the office or on the road. See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial. MBSQuoteline.com. 646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you back. Alice Alvey and I were gathered last week up in northern Michigan at the Michigan Mortgage Lenders Association, their annual comps. What a joy it was. I talked about my golf game. We're not going to bring that up anymore. But we did have excellent speakers there. I got to be one of them. I was more interested to hear what some of the others were saying than anyone else. Brian spoke right after I did. And it was a real good tag team. He covered a lot of ground and a lot of what was going on. I covered a lot of the economic data that was happening. But Brian brought out some – it was great seeing you, Brian, if you're on the broadcast or listening to the broadcast, have you meet you and see you up there. It's always a pleasure to listen to someone with your historical perspective on all that's going on, especially with you living inside the Beltway. It's very, very fascinating. One of the things he brought out, he says we should expect to hear loan off compensation flat fee proposal. I know that's going to strike fear and a lot of anger or stir up a lot of emotion in a lot of our originators out there, but he is expecting that we're going to hear CFPB an announcement about the flat fee proposed rule in the next 30 days. And this rule will basically and essentially require all LOs be paid a flat fee, and it will eliminate the ability to make the overages and the things that they have done in the past. And it's taking the whole concept of LO compensation to another level. I'm going to dedicate a whole broadcast to this topic at some point in time, but I encourage you to go out to and join our LinkedIn group. We now are nearly 5,000 mortgage professionals strong on the LinkedIn group called, and it's identified as LO Compensation and New Rules. I created that group several years ago when the topic of LO compensation first came out. That LinkedIn group is very, very popular, and I'm approving 15 to 25 members a day that are joining that group and actively getting involved in the discussion. Please, for those of you that are joining that group, please do not put up the ads. We don't need to hear the ads. We need to hear compelling discussion on this, and it's excellent. Keep it civil, as there's many opinions out there in various aspects about it. We're going to come back and give a whole broadcast to the LO compensation coming up probably this fall as we start getting and seeing where this is going, as soon as CFPB puts out the word, and help you prepare so you go forward. Proposed rules are open for comment. The official title of the rule is Integrated Mortgage Disclosures Under the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act. Now, only a government, which is Reg X, and then Truth in Lending, Reg Z. I mean, only a federal regulator could come up with a mouthful like that. But the new combined GFE TIL disclosure and the new HUD is also a change in the finance charge calculation. The rule also proposes that we put tighter restrictions on about 10% with a 10% tolerance calculated into the factor. The comments are due at September 7th for the changes related to the finance calculation. And this part of the rule is created the TRANZACT coverage of the TCR, that transaction coverage rate, and proposes to include all fees in the current APR calculation. Comments are due November 6th of this year for the combined GFE and TILA, TILA, and the subsequent new one. And what they're talking about is a 10% tolerance and changes. So it's just some interesting things that are coming there. The second proposed rule is technically called the High Cost Mortgage and Home Ownership Counseling Amendments to the Truth of Lending Act, Reg Z, and the Home Ownership Counseling and Amendments to the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act. My gosh, Alice and her team stay up on top of all this. It's just astounding to me. Lots of things about all of this. This rule expands the coverage to include the principal residence, purchase money. It covers refinances and open and closed HELOCs. Reverse mortgages are exempt, interestingly enough. And the rules will revise the thresholds of comparing APR and APOR. APOR, do you know what that is? That's the test today. Average prime offered rate. Lots of talk about the LIBOR and all stuff that's gone there, and lots of new lawsuits. Those of us support these lawsuits and expert witnesses, we're going to be busy with that one. The CFPB is proposing a new rule on that. Stay tuned. And the comments are November 6th. At Alice's request, she wants to say hello and send her greetings out to all of you. It is so good to have Alice. I tell you, we're so fortunate to have Alice Alvey on this broadcast, bringing it up. It's there's a lot of information, and the way she brings it out, she does it in a manner that, you know, if you're going to get bad news or challenging news or news that stirs you up, you want to get it from someone that's reasonably calm, reasonably analytical on that, and always trying to find the perspective, the glass half full perspective. Alice does that. We're so pleased with our affiliation with Alice Alvey at MortgageU and her business partner, Jan Wetzel of Wetzel Trot. What outstanding organizations they are, and appreciate you. I encourage you to reach out and get to know them both. Alice, if you're listening to the broadcast, have a great time out there in Michigan. Enjoy it. You need it. I know hard you work. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? MortgageU is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. MortgageU instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. MortgageU has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call MortgageU today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you back. You know what? We have Andy Schell is also known to our audience as the Profit Doctor, and that certainly is an apropos term for him. But he also, there's several other terminologies. See, he is an audio engineer. He has done so much audio, and he's sending me messages in the background saying, guys, Dave, you're sounding choppy. The line isn't clean. We're always working on getting clean line connections. But when you're using voice over IP, talking to another electronic system, there's all these electronic challenges. This whole thing just amazes me. But thanks, Andy, for giving me a heads up on that. It's good to have you on the broadcast, Andy. I miss you. I know you weren't feeling well last week. But I have a new name I might propose, or as an alternate, one that we're going to use interchangeably, and it is Andy Schell, Profit Doctor, also known as Yoda of the mortgage industry. Because, you know, what's Yoda's famous line in the movie Star Wars? Don't try. Just do.
Yeah, you do or do not. You do not try.
You do not try. And
you
I
do,
think Profit Doctor.
Do or do not. Do not try, right?
You do or you do not. Do not try. You know what? I think that's
close enough.
I think that's. I'll work on it. You have to practice it. You have to see it in writing a couple of times. Then I'll get it. As many times as you've watched Star Wars, I think you probably have that down. But, I mean, Andy, isn't that really applicable? I mean, there's many people trying to do this. And the tolerance of we're going to try to get that regulation right. We're going to try to be compliant. But you can't try. There is no tolerance anymore in trying.
That's exactly right. You're right, Dave. It's not about, you know, in the scene in Star Wars, Luke is trying to lift the speeder out of the swamp, and he's trying and trying, and he says, "I can't do it, I can't do it." And Yoda goes, "Do not, you do, or you do not. You do not try." And that's exactly where we are. We have to do it. It's not a choice. It's not an option. We can't. When the CFPB shows up and we go, "You know, we're really trying to do this right, but, you know, we're just not quite there." It's like, doesn't matter. Fines are coming your way, and maybe even get shut down, because it doesn't matter if you tried. All that matters is if you did it.
One of the things I had to, yeah, just like Yoda, and that's why I think, you know, I think that quoting Yoda there, nicknaming you as Yoda, because you've been saying that on the air, Andy, for now several years. I mean, you can't try that. You've got to get this right. This is the mortgage industry, especially at the regulatory component of this, Andy, is getting very digital. And by that, I mean it's either on or it's off. There's no
binary.
Middle gray area.
Exactly. It's binary. And, you know, I think the Yoda analogy is really good, too, because I am short, funny looking, and I have big ears.
That's not true. I've been with you. I know. Oh, anyone who knows this guy, he is articulate and it's so much fun to be there, and that is not true. Now with that, I sure wish I would have had you on the golf course. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on. One of the reports I heard, Andy, and I'd like to get your reaction to this, is in preparation to speaking at the Michigan Mortgage Lenders Conference, I did some homework on what is going on out there, and we're hearing some really interesting reports about the call report, the CFPB. I mean, these are things you've been thumping on, talking about for months and months and months. And the one auditor the one mortgage company that commented said that when he had the CFPB walk through the door, it wasn't just the CFPB, because what they're doing is they're doing these audits in coordination with each of the state regulators. In that case, And I'm hearing this several times, that there are oftentimes 30-plus people, if you're in multiple states, 30-plus people showing up in your lobby to do this to do the audit. And the data request is pages and pages and pages, one of which, Andy Schell, Prophet Dr. Yoda of the mortgage industry, is give me evidence, don't try, do, provide us with every rate published you've ever published and what changes, and get, we want to see writing. This is one of the things Alice's been talking about. And I mean, this kind of preparedness, you're a banker, you've been in commercial banking, you've been a mortgage banker all your life, but in the banking environment, a large part of your career was that. You understand the necessity of being compliant and dealing with these regulators. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, that's absolutely the case. And you build your path to meet regulatory compliance at the beginning of the rate calculation or the file accumulation. You don't start at the end of the file. You start at the beginning of the process. And every step along the way, you identify the compliance elements that have to be addressed, the regulatory compliance elements. You know, we in mortgage banking have been doing RESPA compliance for years and years and years. And so we think about that as the till right and, you know, all of that. Is our APR calculations correctly? We've known about that. But there's so much more now that has to be applied to every aspect of what we do and how we do it, because it ultimately culminates in providing the call reports to the NMLS or through the MLS to the states. It ultimately gets picked up both by the Department of Labor, Department of Justice, of course, CFPB, and everybody sees what you reported, and it all ties back to capturing the data correctly when you take that application, when you first collect the fees, when you close the loan, all the fees on the HUD-1 go in. All this stuff has to be done. So as long as you build it right and do it right the first time, then you're going to be fine. It's trying to scramble and go back and fix something that you didn't do correctly the first time is when the cost and effort is astronomically more expensive than had you just done it right the first time. You know, we talk about that in our firm. You know, just identify your process and do it right the first time. And so that's how any business should run, do it right the first time. And if people would just do that in the mortgage space, then this isn't going to be as bad as it is for some who continue to do what they've always done. Because if you continue to do what you've always done in an environment that's changing, your outcome's going to be different. You're not going to make the profits. You're not going to have the same outcome because the world around you change. We've had a what you refer to, Dave, as a tectonic shift. The tectonic plates have moved. You also refer to it as a tidal wave, or has cleared the landscape.
A tsunami.
And you have to start with that. You have to start with that perspective. It's been a seismic shift. We've had a clearing of the landscape. Everything's different. So how it's been is not going to be how it will be next. So you have to accept that. And if you don't, it's going to be very painful. If you do and do the things that have to be done, then we'll get through all of this, and we'll get through it well and make a lot of money, because we've got a lot of clients that are doing this well now and are making a lot of money. Record profit.
They're following the profit doctrine and making great profits. I mean, the reality is it can be done. Technology is an important part. We're going to get Tony Garitano on in just a minute. But your perspective on technology and the importance it plays. And we now got Teresa Casillas on our team, and we're getting inundated with a more disciplined approach to viewing technology. Talk about that, Andy.
Well, it comes down to what I was just saying. Do it right the first time. Build your system and the processes in order to meet compliance when you fill out the first 1003. And one of the ways that you do that is you have a technology infrastructure that supports and accommodates a clean and adaptable workflow and captures all of the compliance requirements. And again, when I say compliance, it's not just the APR's right or your disclosures are correct and all that. We've been doing that for years. It's so much bigger than that now. Compliance now means the financial data is being captured in addition to all the RESPA stuff and in addition to making certain that everything rolls up and is reported correctly. And, you know, we can't do this on tablets. We can't do it in Excel anymore. We've got to have technology that has seamless interfaces of data, that we have control so that the data that goes into the technology is reliable and dependable and validated. It's not as simple as add a branch, throw them on the system, and hope they put the stuff in right. Because if they don't, and when they don't, it's going to roll all the way up, and the owners of the company are going to get sued and fined, not necessarily sued, but fined by the CFPB because something happened at a branch that you added.
You know what's interesting? That one client that talked to us, he said, Dave, after they left, and it was a great disruption to our organization, we ended up with having substantial fines. There's one report where a company is being fined $25,000 a day after they left for the violations that they perceived. There is a sense of we've got to go out and find some people that have erred. We need to make examples. There's different ones. Brian Chappelle talked about this at the MMLA conference. He seems like they're out there determined to have some public hangings or some public floggings to really drive home the point and get everyone marching in order. Profit Doctor, also known as the Yoda of the mortgage industry, thank you so much for the updates. Good to have you back. It'd be appreciated. I'm glad to hear you're feeling better this week, and we appreciate your report. Thank you, Andy. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you back on the broadcast, everybody. We're talking about technology, and certainly no one is more capable of addressing these issues than Tony Garitano. Tony, are you there on the line?
I'm here, Dave.
Good to have you here on the broadcast. Tony, there has been a lot of talk about the new CFPB form, CFPB PEB, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Say that real fast. Get all tied up in my tongue all the time. Andy's always telling me, Dave, just slow down and take a breath once in a while. There's just so much to cover, Tony, and all of this on this radio show, and we try to get through it as much as possible. Let me ask two questions. I got two questions for you this week that we wanted to get to in another broadcast. We missed the opportunity. How much money and time will it cost vendors to get their software compliant, given all the new forms that's going on, and will they be ready in time, Tony? Let us know, Mr. Technology Guru.
Well, this is actually an interesting question because this came up outside of the radio program between myself and Alice. It was a question that she had, and I thought it was really interesting, and everyone obviously wants to know. So I did a little bit of talking to some people, and the average estimate in terms of the cost to be ready with the new forms whenever the new forms are declared and announced, which, you know, as you said, is not going to happen until September, is anywhere from $2 to $2.5 million per software company.
Per software, $2.5 million. We've been saying for years, you've got to know the financial foundation of the companies. Maybe that's why there's been some of the sales that have taken place, is to strengthen the bottom line or to partner with or be owned by companies that can afford to dump this kind of money into this kind of investment. What about the timing? I mean, one thing, we've got a dollar amount now, but I mean, $2.5 million, that's a significant investment. What about the time it's going to take?
All of the vendors that I talk to, at least for now, Dave, say that they will be ready in time
is. Is it going to ruin some – I mean, it's got to ruin some holidays coming up here for some people.
Well, the ones that I talked to said they're investing over 50% of their R&D budget in compliance already.
All right.
So they're really trying very hard to stay compliant, and a lot of them – which shocked me, Dave, were even a little bit excited about it because they thought that maybe they can, you know, do it a different way as compared to their competitors and get a little bit of a competitive advantage out of it. I think a lot of the vendors are upset that lenders have not moved more quickly to a data-driven process, which would make complying with new forms a whole lot easier. Because if you're talking about data presentation, you know, it doesn't really matter how you present the form. If you're collecting, as Andy said, you know, trusted data from trusted data sources and the technology is there to verify that data once you enter it in, and also to put in some stops if you do it wrong, you know, how you present the data really shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah.
But the mortgage industry doesn't really – they don't rely on data. They rely on forms. And a lot of what lenders still do is, you know, scanning of forms or working off of actual paper forms. And that makes it much more difficult when you're changing a key form, or in this case, three key forms.
Three key forms, yeah.
I mean, it's a lot.
I think it's interesting that I think the interesting thing is about the vendor's attitude. That's very positive. I mean, to have an opportunity to, you know, you could see this, you know, you're handed lemons and you make lemonade. I mean, it's the concept is this is an opportunity for them to further differentiate themselves from the competition. That's interesting. It goes to the attitude. Tell me, what is their overall view about these changes? Are they positive or negative for the industry? What's their views?
I think that the ones that I spoke to, Dave, said that they think that the goals of the CFPB are good. They think that if the CFPB can truly come up with a form that is easier for consumers and also investors to understand, it will, you know, play a small part in bringing back some confidence in the industry. So they think that overall it's going to be a good thing. It's just that, in their experience, lenders always go kicking and screaming.
Yeah, isn't that the truth, Tony? Dave, I think that's so true. Yes, Joe. Yep.
Yeah, I just wanted to weigh in on a comment Tony made, and it's sort of indicative of what's going on. 50% of their R&D is being spent just to be compliant. You know, so what's that say being done for innovation? What's that say being done for improving efficiency?
Great point.
It's just a sad state of affairs when you have to work so hard just to be, I don't want to belittle being compliant, but that's just where everyone's focus is.
Good point.
Well, I think that's true, Joe, but I think that there are certain things that vendors can do to ensure compliance that also enables innovation, that maybe enables process change, maybe makes due diligence faster. So, I mean, to your point, they're not focusing specifically on process innovation, which is a shame. But you can innovate around compliance, and you can try and move the process forward in new ways, and maybe lenders are a little bit more responsive to that because you put the word compliance in there.
And to that point, one of the things that came up at the Lenders One conference had to do with the CFPB audit process, and the very first thing that happens is a very detailed look at data. And, and to the extent that data is good, again, this is how to make non-income producing activities easier, but maybe if you can spend less time on that, you can spend more time on sales and revenue generation.
And if you think about it, a mortgage is really just a collection of data. That's really what a mortgage is. And it's just a shame that we can't pull that data from, where we need it to be to where we need it to go as data instead of as, a paper form or a picture of a paper form, which opens us all up to fraud and noncompliance and inefficiency and extra cost. The industry really does need to evolve when it comes to its thinking about how it processes a mortgage, and maybe these things are a positive in the long run.
Well, we've got to turn these into a positive because they're certainly coming. You've got to find a way of taking this, and if it is lemons, if your perception is lemons, find a way to make some lemonade out. I hear Joe, you're right on. 50%, that's astounding. 50% of all money is going to be invested is going to go towards all of this, and it's going to be a huge time distractor. So, innovations, I appreciate your positive spin on the innovation, but the reality is it feels like, it feels like innovation is going to be on hold for a little while as we get ourselves and our systems compliant. Interesting about data. Nick, when we have you back next week, Tony, we got to talk about data because there's a lot going on in the data. And you expressed a comment about surprise about the more on embracing some of the data standards, some of the things going on there. Let's go into that next week. Does that sound good?
That sounds great. I'd be happy to talk a little bit more about it.
There you go. Tony, thank you for taking a few minutes out of your busy day and being a part of it. And Joe, thanks for jumping in on the discussion. Good stuff, folks. Folks, we will be right back after this brief break.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
We appreciate you so much tuning in and listening to the broadcast. I scan over and I look at all the listeners that are tuned in, just even by your cell phones, by your car phones, your office phones. I tell you, it's a real compliment. Every time we travel around the country, we go off to the conferences that we speak at, there is so much commentary that comes back to us. Hey, we listen to you on a regular basis. When I was at the Michigan Mortgage Lenders Conference this last week, I can't tell you about the number of people that walked up to us and walked up to Alice and I and made some positive comments that they listen to us regularly, the great value. I thank you so much. Tell others about it. The best compliment you can give us to tell others about it. Appreciate it so much. And Joe, you had a similar experience when you were there at the Lenders One conference last week in Chicago.
Yeah, Jim Seiko said he listens to us all the time and a number of others. And so we very much appreciate that. And they seem to enjoy having this discussion.
Well, I think it's the discussion. I think that's so much of what we're reporting on things. We got many, many other great news sources out there. We're not trying to be a news source as much as discuss what's going on, but it's the discussion that's the digesting it and hearing how we think about it and bringing us on. Like we have Mitch Kiter next week talking about these things. And it's a balance of us talking about it, but doing that. Also, it was so funny. I was sitting at a restaurant while up in Michigan at the conference, and I heard this guy walk up, and he says, excuse me, who was it that just spoke? Is that Dave Licken? He says, I listen to your broadcast all the time. I didn't recognize you, but I recognized your voice. And I was expecting him to say, you're not as choppy in person as you are on broadcast. I said that for Andy Schell's benefit. But the reality is so many people are listening to broadcasts. Thank you so much. Andy, I could hear you've got something to go.
No, I was just talking about chopping.
Okay, we got to work on data. But let's talk, Joe, about some of the things that you heard there. We're going to get into it in a lot more detail, but let's get into some of the things that were discussed at the conference. I also want to talk about some things that are in the news that are certainly impacting some things. But let's start with you, Joe, and just kind of cover some of the highlights that were there. And I know, again, we're going to get into it next week.
The Lenders One Conference is great. It's a great organization. It's a great way to network, and they have great people come make presentations. The one I felt I liked the most had to do with there were a couple guys there from the FHFA, and they were actually asking what could we do to make your life better. And
play that again. Did I hear that right?
They were
perception most lenders have out there.
Yeah, they were asking for input, and it was interesting. Something came up that I wasn't aware of, and thought I'd share, and that has to do with. There are a number of people out there who might be seller servicer with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, or less specific with Fannie Mae, who are not able to issue securities. You know, they can sell and they can service, but they cannot issue the securities, which to some was costing them a great deal of money. If they were able to be the issuer of the security, and especially in the as you can arrange loans into specified pools, you can pick up a great deal of money on the sale of the specified pools. And they weren't able to get that. They were being forced to sell if they were going to sell to Fannie as a whole loan. And the FHA was listening. I don't think they were ready for that issue to come up, but it came up not from one or two or three, but several, many people. We're saying they were having the same issue with getting approvals through Fannie Mae to be able to be an issuer, and something
that's
I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, it's something we're looking into, and we're going to be reporting more on because I was not aware that there was a separate designation. I mean, there's a seller only Fannie Mae approval, then there's the seller servicer, which is what allows you to service. But I was not aware of the fact that they've now set up a new second or a third designation.
I don't know that it's new.
Were you?
It
may not be.
Yeah, a separate phase.
Hey, Andy Schell.
Hi, Dave.
That was one of your thoughts on that. You haven't heard of that, but we're not aware of that. Or had you heard of that?
We have heard that there's some folks that are transitioning from being a seller only with access to the cash window, who now are becoming servicers also, and have to go through the qualification process for that, and then the steps to then be a securitizer. Which means you have to have the custodial relationships and the investor accounting process in place well, and that Fannie Mae wants to make certain that all that's done correctly. I don't know if it's
capital.
New or not.
I don't think it's new. I think it's just harder to get to, And part of the logic for that being difficult seems to maybe that there's a lot of money be made by being the issuer, and maybe Fannie Mae's doing that.
You know, that's an interesting commentary, Joe, because I think you sit and look at it. Fannie Mae has lost so much money, has had so many hits. They're part of the federal government now. And we're now faced in a situation where is it possible they're trying to make up, you know, to validate their future owning existence by proving that they can make more money by encouraging or making the threshold to start issuing securities a little bit more difficult or at a higher level. It makes you wonder about that. We're going to be getting into that in a bit deeper way, but there's another development that's happened across the industry. We all know that Wells Fargo jettisoned the correspondent program, and there's
been rumors.
I meant the broker. They jettisoned the broker program. Thank you.
The wholesale program.
They shut that down. There have been rumors that they are in the process of whittling back, paring back on the correspondent program. And there's been doing some research on the internet, and there have been rumors that they're totally exiting it. It appears that that's not the case. But I was talking, and I'm going to keep this correspondent lender nameless, called me this last week and said, Dave, one of the things you should cover on your radio program is the fact that we are being inundated with, and this is their words, more Wells Fargo correspondent refugees. These are people that are being invited to leave the program. Is that a nice way to say it? But are being told this is going to happen. And this individual said that this had been come out and it's a public knowledge. I have not been able to find it. We did a quick website and Google search on this information before the broadcast. We're not able to see any official announcements on that. But this person, and I talked to him just before the broadcast, said, absolutely, Dave, this is going on. So for those of you that are out there in our listening audience that are hearing these reports, please give us information. If you've actually seen a publication or something, news report, we try to track these, please let us know. But if, in fact, that happens, and you start looking at what are the implications, that may explain, Andy Schell, why we are having so many people knocking on our door to help them get approved with Fannie Mae and Jenny Mae and, in some cases, Freddie Mac. But Fannie Mae and Jenny Mae are the two focal points. Your thoughts on this, Andy?
I think that's exactly the case. I think you're right that it's just a brave new world. It's not like we've seen in the past, and so Fannie Mae is still, to some degree, fighting for their survival. You know, they're in conservatorship, and so they want to do well. They want to minimize risk. They want to control the places that where in the past things have gone boom in the night, and so and they've got the internal procedures to really slow things down if they want to. And so it takes an understanding of the process, how they work, how to get them to move forward, and then being able to present the case in a way that's clear to them that this securitizer is going to be able to originate quality product that's not going to generate losses for them in the future.
I want to get into this because we're going to take a quick break here for an ad break. But I just want to also say it is really important. But I want to get into talking about some of the things that we're getting, and when we talk to the agencies about specifics that they want with applying for a loan, are applying for an approval. There's some very big things going on there, some areas of focus that seems to be more highlighted and punctuated. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break. Mike Frantoni, good to have you on the broadcast again. With all the uncertainty going on in the industry, Mike, these conferences are so important. You have an upcoming conference. Tell our listeners about it.
Well, thanks, Dave. I think you're right. There really has never been a more important time to focus on risk management and quality assurance issues. And that's why we've put together this conference, which is September 9th through the 11th in Dallas, MBA's Risk Management and Quality Assurance Forum.
Tell us a little bit about the content of this conference.
Certainly. So we're going to have a couple of general sessions focusing on changes in the regulatory environment, managing risk within your organization day-to-day, both loan by loan and across your institution, and managing risk in the context of these new regulations. And as such, we're going to have speakers from the FHA, from Ginnie Mae, CFPB, and from some of the bank regulatory agencies. Then we're going to have a large number of concurrent sessions in four tracks: risk analytics, underwriting, servicing QC, and quality assurance. You know, topics ranging from mitigating repurchase risk to developments in automated underwriting, looking at the latest from the rating agencies, And then the reemergence of manual underwriting. You've had too much reliance on AU in the past, and now you're having underwriters having to get back to basics and learn what it takes to underwrite a loan manually.
A lot of people need to be at this. How can they learn more? What's the website?
So you go to the MBA website, www.mortgagebankers.org, and it's right in the upper right there. It's the RMQA conference, Risk Management and Quality Assurance, September 9th through 11th in Dallas.
Listeners, I encourage you to be at these conferences. This is important, especially with all that's going on, as we talk about here on the radio program regularly. Michael, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the broadcast and telling our listeners about this important conference.
Thank you, David. Look forward to seeing everybody there.
You know, Joe and Andy, these conferences are important, and I think when you look at the presentations, Brian Chappell's presentation at the Mortgage Lenders, Mitch Kider's presentation, and the FIFA Financial Housing Oversight Group there, Ed DeMarcus Group, FIFA, and having some of the commentary. Conference is always important, great for networking and that, but never has there been a time that you need to stay up on these. So I'm really excited to be working and promoting this conference for the MBA, all the conferences. And we got the one coming up in October, the National Conference. So amazing stuff that's coming up. The conference season's around the corner. Let's talk about, we were talking just before we went to the break, about the approval process that's going on with Jenny and Fannie. I have never seen it, Andy, where so much attention and details be given to servicing and the servicing procedures, servicing monitoring and all that. This is really an area, and I know you used to manage servicing at one of the big banks, B of A, the old B of A that we talk about. And give us a thought, a real quick point on this. It's not just being able to say that you're using subservicers. It's not just saying, yeah, we're going to monitor them, but it's the how are you going to monitor them. On that, Andy?
Yeah, well, that's exactly the case. There's new rules, there's new guidelines, there's procedures that have to be in place to deal with that. We are currently working with clients, banks, commercial banks, in evaluating their servicing operations, and there's very, very specific tests that have to be done and very specific compliance aspects that have to be addressed for servicers. So it's if you understand what you need to do and you do it right the first time, then you're going to be fine. If you take it lightly or don't understand it or minimize the effort, people used to think of servicing just like they do accounting as a bunch of metal desks down in the basement with a bunch of people in their bathrobe,
yeah,
entering payments, and it's not that anymore.
No.
And you've got to take it seriously. It is. Servicing can be an amazing revenue opportunity for a mortgage company or a commercial bank as long as it's managed well.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting is that if you're already in the servicing business and approved with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, know this. They are wanting experienced people. For those that are getting their approval, they're wanting experienced people, and they're out. Every company is being told, you don't have any experience on staff. You need to go hire some. Those of you that have servicing staff, you better take good care of them. Do not get them out of the stack. Like Andy says, down to the basement. You may want to pay a little more attention because they may be working for your competitor that is in the process of getting that approval. Joe, you used to have managed servicing. Your company used to have servicing. Your thoughts on this, and is this something that's been long overdue? Or your thoughts?
Dave, I don't know. We just lost your. I'm on, but it's not long overdue. I think everybody, it's a very detail-oriented process, and your systems need to be set to help you do that. But, they're only asking for reasonable things as it relates to providing good customer service and to keep accurate records and to fix errors and to do it timely. And I don't think any of those are big issues. I do know that it's going to increase the cost because, as usual, they swung the pendulum too far and are requiring things that maybe you wouldn't want to expect. And I expect that those the pendulum will swing back. But, providing good customer service is only a good thing to do.
It's a good thing. It's a necessary thing. Can you hear me all right, Joe? I'll make sure
I can.
Oh, you're good, good, good. I may have lost a line there from the data for a while or the connection. I think it's so important that everyone understand what they're trying to do is to shore up the areas where our industry has been weak. And I just can't tell you how important it is to really understand that. A lot of people just take their servicing people for granted. Realize this. They are in demand, right? As underwriters are in demand. You're going to see that out there. People, pay attention to the fact that servicers, those that are getting into the business of loan servicing and retaining it, are looking for qualified talent. Don't ignore those people down there, as Andy says, down the stacks. Joe, I think one of the things we're watching Wells Fargo exit the, and I'm saying this right this time, the broker business, the wholesale channel. Others are talking about that. Love to get, what was the perspective that you picked up there at the Lenders One conference? Is this, do you see this as a channel that's just dying away? Any comments that came from the, or impressions that you picked up from that conference?
Well, first, there's very little. Many of the people at Lenders One deal with brokers, have brokers as customers,
yeah.
And some are flourishing. As the big guys have gotten out, it's opened up the market for everyone else, and so, I don't see it as, going away at all. There are more and more people who have said, I need to take control of my own destiny by saying, I need to be a seller servicer, as you talked about.
Yes.
Much
yep.
of that's due to the extra margins you can pick up by selling this into securities. But, I just think everyone is just so busy right now, like I said before, that, dealing with a very large pipeline, dealing with all the regulations coming, that it's just a time that they've got to keep their head down and not a lot of really long-term strategic planning taking place. Many unknowns.
There's the uncertainty is just continuing to gum up the works. But there was some positive news this last week that got announced. Housing prices are actually showing an increase of 2.5%. I got a call from the producers at CNBC. They wanted me on the closing bell program with Marie Bartiromo, and could not get to a studio fast enough because I was up in Northern California. But I'd like to get your thoughts on this. You said earlier, Joe, that you thought it's regional, and I absolutely agree with you. It's more regional. But do you really, your impression, and I know it's just an impression, just one man's opinion, but is your sense that we're near the bottom in the housing and that we're actually starting a slow climb up? How would you characterize it? And then I'm going to get Andy's thoughts. Then we'll close out the program.
Yeah, very, very. Yes, I do believe so.
We're in the process of getting at the bottom. Andy, your thoughts?
We're around the bottom, yeah.
We're on the bottom.
Well, Dave, well, I think we're at the bottom. I'm concerned about the affordability factor, because part of the reason that we're at the bottom too is affordability has never been better, because rates are lower than they've ever been before.
Right.
So as rates go up, affordability goes down, which means the ability to pay more for the house goes down. So, well, I do believe we're at the bottom. I think part of the appreciation rate is going to be capped by the pending increase in interest rates as well.
Yeah, I think that's
no
absolutely
question.
True. We're
going to
see our...
We've got a bubble working here, and the bubble is in long-term interest rates and the values that are being paid for that. And as I've said many times, when things start turning around, it's going to hurt, because it's going to turn quickly.
It is going to turn quickly, and we're going to find ourselves in a condition here. Living on refinances, get down and figure out how to do the purchase business. Don't ignore it out there, folks. It's good to have you be a part of the broadcast. I appreciate many of you that tune in, especially for those of you that are actually on the phone listening to this the whole time. That is impressive. You also can go out to the website. You go out to Lickin on Lending, LYKKEN on Lending.com, and listen to all the previously recorded broadcasts, as well as listen live that way. Appreciate you being a part of the broadcast. Tell others about it. Remember, next week we have Mitch Kider. He's going to be sharing his perspective of all that's going on. It is a call to action, I think is what Mitch says. We appreciate you being part of the broadcast. Tell others about it. Have a great week, everyone. We'll be back. Stay cool. And if you're on a vacation, enjoy it. Never been a time more important to take vacations with all that's going on. Have a blessed week, everyone. Talk to you soon.
This has been Lickin' on Lending. a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licken of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.